what I found really interesting is that when the starters were asked, okay, go ahead and give your pitch, it was just like, I have no idea how to do this. I mean, with the exception of, you know, Squiggle is obviously an exception because those guys have been doing this for a long time. But most of them, it's just kind of like, I don't know what to do here. I mean, and isn't that funny? Like, the thing that we would be most, that we would most relate to, which would be our own story, our own, talking about our own business, right, is universally difficult to do.
Yeah. And I don't know if you heard this as well, and probably the person listening to this, as they hear the pitches, some of them sound fairly robotic. And that's the thing that, as I'm listening to the pitches, I'm like, oh, just break out of that script. Just tell us who you are and go ahead and just lay the cards out on the table. We're cool. We're all humans. And I would much rather, you know, have a person just kind of, you know, bare their whole heart and soul, as opposed to, you know, getting the text of the pitch right. But that's okay. I mean, this is all part of the experience. But I bet by the time that we get to demo day, I've seen demo days in the past, these guys, and it's going to be really funny to compare these stories today versus the final episode of this podcast, where we actually get to hear these demos. But I promise you, these stories are going to sound a little bit different, because I think they're going to be much more natural in that delivery.
So let's say you're in a car and you need to merge with traffic. What would you do?
I'd hit the accelerator.
Transitive verb. To bring about at an earlier time.
To hasten the progress or development.
To move faster. To gain speed. To hasten the progress or development.
Pause.
To move faster.
Accelerator.
I'm Josh Elledge, and by now I'm sure you know this is the Accelerator Podcast. We're following 8 early-stage startups for the next 12 weeks, and if you're just listening to this podcast for the first time, I have a suggestion. Stop. Go back and listen to the pilot and episode number 1, so you'll better understand the story and the cast of characters. Go ahead. I'll wait. Okay, are you back? On today's episode, we're going to be joining our starters on the very first day of Starter Studio. In addition to getting moved into their desks and receiving their parking passes, they had a quick sit-down meeting with Melissa Wasserman.
Today, this afternoon, you're going to learn about elevator pitches, and you're going to practice them because Thursday night, we're going to put you guys each in a room, and we're going to cycle through potential mentors. And you're going to get to give your elevator pitch and hear a little bit about them. And then we do a little bit of matchmaking afterwards. So we'll send you a survey saying, hey, who did you like? Who would you maybe want to work with? Do something the same to them. And then we sit down and brain trust between Donna and Greg and I and figure out who we're going to match you with.
Anytime mentors or coaches come up, it's just as important to remember what they are not as it is to know what they are.
You'll be matched with several types of mentors. One will be a person that you're going to meet with weekly. And they are sort of, think of them as like your entrepreneurial coach. They are here to help you. They're here to open up their Rolodexes for you. They're not here to do your work for you, but they're here to help you make connections. And they're here to help make sure that you're on the right track and just give you general advice. So sometimes we'll partner you with someone in an appropriate industry. Sometimes we'll partner you based more on personalities. But the goal there is that that's someone that weekly also has their eyes on what you guys are doing and will report back to us. And if they give you a homework assignment, they're going to tell us that they gave you a homework assignment, and we're going to expect you to do it. That doesn't mean you have to do what they tell you to do. And we're going to have someone come in and give you do a workshop on mentoring on Friday. So she'll go over a lot of this. But just because someone who's smart tells you that it's a good idea doesn't mean it's a good idea for you. So keep that in mind. These are mentors. They are not the end-all be-all, and they don't know everything. But they're just sort of there to guide you and to just be another set of eyes for us.
Starter Studio takes being in the space, actually being in Canvas, very seriously. And I actually know this firsthand because I had a web startup about 3 years ago and I applied to Starter Studio. And that was one of the questions they asked me was, were you going to be able to be in the space every weekday? And I wasn't. And that's the reason why I didn't end up being in Starter Studio with my startup. So Melissa spent a little bit of time clarifying what the expectations are.
Any other questions about schedule?
Like, you know, you want to start at 9:30. When do you want us to stay till, or what's the expectation?
So there's not really an expectation. We just want to see your faces a lot. Like, that's the expectation, is that you're here, you're working sometime in the middle of the daytime hours. So if you stroll in at 10:30 on most days, fine, right? Especially if you're staying until 7, right? If you have team members who have day jobs and you're doing a lot of your work at 2 in the morning, that's fine. What we didn't want is we have sometimes teams that will blow off the group meetings because, well, it's just me giving my pitch again to the same group of 10 people. Yes, it is. You still should be here.
Accelerator producer Brian Orr stopped Ariel Cohen in the hall and asked her how the first day was going for her and her lead developer, Zach.
So the beginning this morning, we kind of just got situated, got our parking passes, set up where our desks are. And then now we just had our initial introduction meeting, introducing the different teams and kind of seeing the layout for the schedule for the next week or so and the process that we're going to be going through.
What's worrying you right now? Like, there's got to be something that you're...
Everything. No. Just progressing, continuing to move forward and being able to be in two places at once, which is impossible because I have meetings still at UCF and then at the same time as meetings here. So just trying to get the most of everything.
Gotcha. So you're Zach.
I am Zachary Shea, iOS development. I started in eighth grade. One of my buddies came to me with an idea for an iOS app. So we just started working on it and I learned how to code just using the internet. So I've been working on apps since then.
So what's your favorite app that you developed so far?
Ooh, that's a tough one. All right, so for my high school, we had this system that had been developed for automatic hall passes. So each student had an ID card and they would be able to swipe when they went to the bathroom and it would log it in this system. I worked on an iPad app for the hall monitors. So each hall monitor had an iPad and they could see in real time who was out in the halls and where their destinations were. So, and how much time they had left to get back to class.
So I'm surprised the NSA hasn't met.
When we first met, he had told me that, and I go, oh, that's great. I would have hated you. So.
After lunch, Melissa got everyone back together to go over their quick pitches. Now, keep in mind, you've heard about their companies, but these new founders don't know one another at all. So this may be the first time they find out what's up with the other starters and their businesses. Now, Melissa coached them on the building blocks of a good pitch. Introduce yourself, clearly identify your product and what it does, as well as who it's for, and clearly define your business model and why the listener should care. Now, it's a tough thing to do, and Ariel is up first.
So everyone in this room has a particular industry that they're involved with, whether you're looking for brokers, a fashion merchandiser, maybe you know, someone who runs a charity event. Well, how do you find them? And I just want you to think about that. How do you find the person you're looking for? It must be frustrating going from, hey, to this friend, to that friend. Hey, I'm looking for this charity organizer. And then once you do find them, how do you know they're legitimate? How do you know they are who they say they are? So Zouk Music is an app, a web and mobile application for the music industry, enabling better music creation, delivery, and consumption. The music industry currently is a $47 billion industry, and a lot of these up-and-coming artists and bands, listeners, and music industry professionals have that same problem. So our application is an alternative in order to help people find one another and start collaboration. My name is Ariel Cohen. I'm the founder of Zouk, and yeah, that's it. I was going to talk about my experience within the music industry, but I'll do it next time.
Do y'all know what she does?
It's like LinkedIn for music.
I forgot that too. That was my next thing.
I didn't quite get it.
Sorry. So it's,
yeah.
It's like a LinkedIn meets SoundCloud for the music industry. So that was I was supposed to say that.
So if you're a guitarist, acoustic guitarist / songwriter, but you need a pianist to drop a few tracks in your song, You would use this to find someone legitimate somewhere.
So you can discover them? And then, so the workflow process of music creation, you discover who you're trying to find, and then you actually make the song or the beat or whatever you're trying to do, and then you promote it.
A question in everyone's mind is, how do you plan to make money, otherwise known as your quote-unquote monetization strategy in startup jargon?
Yeah, so we have a few different revenue streams. One, if there are service transactions, if we do work together and I'm buying a beat from you, our application would take a percent of that. Another way would be like for the promotion, there's events. So also within the ticket industry, like where you can buy tickets, percents from there. And then we obviously have ads because it's a social media.
I was going to say, I definitely see them skirting the cost. Like once they meet up, they'd be like, agree to pay each other like some other way.
So,
like,
yeah, and that's okay. Some people might do that. But the reason we are providing incentives and benefits unique to our users. So by legitimacy, a lot in the music industry, it's a big problem. What we found from speaking with people, that people run off with other people's money or they say they're going to do something and they don't deliver. If you go through our app, we are the third party, so we have that money and we can guarantee they're going to deliver. If not, so it's more secure. It's a secure payment platform as well.
You said that you were in the music industry. What sliver of that are you at?
Okay, so I forgot to say that, but I know what it is. It's amateur to mid-level professional. So the people who aren't at the level of being famous. It's more of the up-and-coming artists and bands. They're not Adele. They're not, you know, Maroon 5 or whoever.
Now listen to Tom Waterman. He gives really nice feedback to Ariel on focus, knowing your target, and sticking with it. He's right. Early on, it's easy to talk and dream about what your product could be. It takes a lot of discipline to focus on what you're working on now.
You know, not that I have tons of experience, but I've been listening to a lot of entrepreneurs and soaking things in. And one thing I keep hearing and something that I had to do to make things more simple was like focus on one thing and do it really, really well instead of trying to be this huge platform that does everything.
Now, you like Starter Studio and the Accelerator podcast, right? I mean, it's cool to see these guys and gals get what might be considered a startup Ivy League education. It's not easy. It's a serious investment on their part, but it's also a major investment on the part of the mentors, teachers, and coaches. Now, as you've heard, these guys were selected because they showed the right stuff and are receiving a full ride scholarship through Starter Studio. Now, you're also getting a full ride scholarship as a listener. So how did we pull all this off? Well, Brian and I are thrilled to produce this audio show for you, but we all must show our gratitude to our corporate sponsors. Now, all we ask for in terms of tuition on your part is simply your warm feelings toward the following corporate partners. Now you're also welcome to visit them on the web and learn about what they do. These guys deserve it. Major thank yous go to the University of Central Florida, who does a lot of work locally in terms of supporting the growing entrepreneurial ecosystem. Certainly, UCF is known for charging money for tuition. I mean, they are, after all, the number two largest university in the United States in terms of student population. But for Starter Studio in this podcast, it's, shall we say, on the house. Now, UCF is a great partner when it comes to education, technical resources, workforce development, and grant support, along with other noble missions locally, such as helping make Starter Studio and the Accelerator podcast happen. So we love you, UCF. Now, the other platinum partner this season that's helping make this all work is an audit tax advisory firm named Witham. They're on the web at witham.com. Now, that's W-I-T-H-U-M.com. Now, Witham is an accounting, audit, tax, and business consulting firm who specializes in helping tech startups. If you're a startup, they are the go-to firm for all things tax and accounting. Now, the other partners we want to thank are Akerman Law Firm, on the web at akerman.com. That's A-K-E-R-M-A-N.com. Also, Envy Labs at madewithenvy.com. Code School, we want to thank at codeschool.com. And finally, Corridor Legal, on the web at corridorlegal.net. Hey, if you need those web addresses, just check out the show notes for this episode. You'll see them if you're listening to this show in a reputable podcast player. Or if you become a friend of Starter Studio on Facebook, Twitter, or on the email list. Now, you'll see the links to Starter Studio's social media channels at starterstudio.com. And as for the email, well, just scroll down just a little bit on the front page. Look for a little teeny tiny form under the video at starterstudio.com that says, stay informed. Enter your email address and yeah, you'll be informed. And maybe you'll also see some photos of our starters and get some behind the scenes stuff that you won't find anywhere else. Again, that's starterstudio.com. Next up is Mark Bertelli with Big Box Of. And if you remember last week, Mark had his doubts about his last pitch.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
This is a site for women 24 to 35 period. And it sells... it sells things by city, and those things, it's like a gift shop.
So what is your company doing?
I have no idea. I don't know. I gave this idea to people I respect, and now I'm pursuing it. That's why I'm doing it.
Okay, what's the idea?
It's a, you look at this list of cities across the United States, and you pick a city, and you click on it, and 10 products pop up, like Oprah's favorite things for that city. And every month, those 10 things change. Those 10 things are chosen by the local expert that I choose in each of the cities. So you're making, period. That's it.
Mark got asked a question that's hard for any business owner to answer unless you've thought about it. And that question is, so what problem are you solving?
There's no problem. It's idiocy. It's stupid. I shouldn't be here. Okay, so my back thing is the concept of shopping local makes me angry because that means I can only support the local makers and the local people that are makers in Orlando. I can't support any makers doing things cool in any other city if I shop local. So this allows you... It gives you permission to shop local across the country.
That
and
was
still,
great.
Yeah. There,
that was a great elevator pitch.
Woo! Get that?
That was good. Yeah, exactly.
That's
that
what my
see, that sounded really good.
Yes.
Yeah. You got to get them
shop
up.
Local.
That's what you
got to
do.
I didn't have shop locally naturally.
So is it kind of like a curated? Kind of like a curated Etsy, basically, right?
It's Etsy. You can't search by city. And when you search by product, they give you, if you search for a men's bag, not a purse, like a laptop bag, you get hundreds of laptop bags. Mm-hmm. So this is like, we're going to give you 10 things. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and the same thing with Amazon. You can't shop by city on Amazon.
This is what usually happens, and I'm surprised it took this long to get here, that the pitch itself was like, okay, but then when you ask and you say, okay, let's get out of pitch mode, what do you do? And then they say it, and you're like, that was it right there.
Yeah.
So what you said, that was a great pitch.
Yeah, it was.
So I'm glad we have audio, because you can go back and listen to it.
I need to. I don't remember what
because that was a great pitch. You're like, that I can't shop locally. I can only support the makers in my city. That's dumb. That's a great hook. That's compelling, and you're passionate about it. So that's a great...
Yeah. I think we get too consumed in like this pitch mode, and really we should just talk from the heart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you all understand what he does after that last pitch? Yes. You understand?
Yeah.
What
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, once again, you'll notice Tom piping up with some great feedback.
I like the Oprah Winfrey thing because everyone kind of, I think everyone knows Oprah's favorite thing.
Yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah, and when you said it's like an Oprah's favorite things for a certain city, each city.
So how do you curate? How do you manage that?
I mean, at this point, it's just an idea in my head.
Well, he told me earlier.
There's I know about my city, and I blogged about my city. I'm not an expert, but I know about it. And so there's a me in every city in America. So what I see on Yelp is that on Yelp, everyone is basically working for free, and they don't pay them anything. So all Yelp's content is created, and they don't give them. So I'm sorry, I'm nervous. I'm cursing. So that's what we would do. We would give them. No, we would. Go and pick the me's in each city and then somehow make that as a value that means that's a gift to them. That's an honor, like an award. If you're chosen to be the curator for that city and you love your city, that's a very big deal in your mind. But Yelp don't pay them and they're good.
And it's interesting because I already had someone, and I'm not going to name any names here. You can email me if you want the details. Just kidding. No, I had someone email me after they did a pitch and say, you know, I would like to do that again. Like, I'm not happy with how that turned out. I would like to do that again. And I pulled a little Marcus Lemonis. I don't know if you've ever watched The Prophet, but where he always says, you got to trust the process.
Yeah.
Because that's a huge part of this story is where you came from and what was difficult for you. Even not just for the future, but like right now, your customers and the people who you're interacting with and your coworkers and the mentors and the coaches, everybody wants to know where you really are authentically, not the face you want to put forth.
Yeah, could you imagine if everyone showed up on the set of The Biggest Loser on day one and they were already in perfect shape? That's not how it works. No way, Jose. We want to see the evolution. And I think that the evolution is going to be the most rewarding aspect of this program, of Accelerator, is being able to see those stumbles and, oof, they were a little rough on day one, but wow, now look at them. And now we get to Tom and his pitch. Oh, and by the way, his business that was once called Givefolio and later Changemaker is now called Backstory. And while the mission is the same, the product has changed.
There is a disconnect in the market of online content sharing. On Facebook and on Twitter, any media outlet, all we do is like and share things. It's a two-dimensional world, and I think it leaves people unsatisfied and unfulfilled. There should be a third dimension, which is joining this content and acting on it. I like to call it actionable storytelling. For example, there's a community organization called the House of Fame, where they help teens gain access to a house where they get mentorship and guidance and education. And these teens don't have the right access to these things. So per year, there's a resident fee. Hang on a second. Let me redo it. That was getting too deep.
Me too.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right. So this is a huge story that gets people amped up, and there's content online about it, but no one can join the story. No one can do anything. They can share it. It'll go viral, but no one can make an impact. So this platform is called Backstory, and it's about backing the stories that move you, being actionable with things you care about. So this platform would allow you to engage and join the story and change the ending for the better. Every single minute of the day, there's 25 million pieces of content being shared on Facebook, and none of it is actionable or allows you to make a difference. So that's, I guess my platform is a platform for story sharing where you can make a difference in the community. I'm Tom Waterman, and it's called Backstory.
All right, who understands what he
does?
I think
I pretty much. Yeah. So are you saying you can donate? Like, if someone shares a story and it's about like a charity, you can like donate once you finish reading it or once you share it or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it makes it easier to.
What made it actionable?
Yeah. So I didn't want to, I guess, get too deep into it, but it would be the donation piece of it. And once you join the story, you kind of immediately are engaged in the story, so you can kind of see what's going on as you do it. So there'd be a tangible goal, like a $5,000 residence fee for a kid in the House of Fame. And we would kind of crowdfund that goal. And once you join it, you're going to see the updates. And once you meet the goal and what happens and how the person gets into the program, and you basically join the story. So it's no longer just something you're reading and then liking, but it's something you're actually like having an outcome on.
David Pancros of Squiggle asked the question I was thinking. Isn't this like GoFundMe?
Yeah, but it's like GoFundMe, but I don't think on GoFundMe anyone can make a story. And I think some people kind of suck at storytelling. So I want to really curate these stories and pick certain ones in the community and kind of feature them. Instead of just letting anyone do it, and there's like thousands of stories, there's no demand, too much supply, I kind of want to create a market for impactful stories.
I think we all fall into the same challenge sometimes is that, again, your hook, the most interesting part was at the end.
Yeah.
Where you said this allows you to get engaged and not be, in single dimension, but more multidimensional and get involved. Your hook came at the end and the problem that you're solving, because right now on Facebook, I can get involved. I can click beyond like, I can, in the story, there is a GoFundMe link. The way I see this is right now when I do get engaged in the story, and there is an actionable item, it is single dimension. It just says go give money, and then
and then that's it. That's the problem. I need to dive more into that.
Now we've got Jolene with Style Squad ready to share her pitch.
My name is Jolene, and I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go shopping, I have, especially when I'm on my own, I have trouble deciding if I want to buy something, especially when I'm going with a limited budget. I remember one time I was like trying on these pretty expensive pleather pants because they were on trend a while ago, and I took a picture and I was like, I wanted to post it on some kind of social media, but I felt like uncomfortable doing that because there's not really a social media that's for that purpose. I just wanted a way to get a bunch of my friends' opinions together all at once. Also, when I worked retail, I noticed other people doing the same thing. They take pictures and send them to all their friends. The solution that I thought of was creating an app where people can post pictures of something they're interested in buying, or if they're going to an important event, you know, getting approval from their friends that their outfit looks good, so that way they can feel more confident when they're going to this event. So that's basically, and how it works is either they post one picture that their friends can either vote on or leave comments, or they can post multiple that their friends can vote on.
You know, initially I think that you kind of talked about how it works, and it's more about just kind of understanding the concept instead of understanding the comments and this and that and that. And like, so if you just kind of keep it to the idea, I think your initial story may be a little too detailed. Okay. Just keep it quick and simple. Yeah, those are two things.
I think a story could have been, you know, I was out shopping and I wanted some feedback on something I was going to buy.
Yeah.
And I had no way of doing it. And I didn't want to impose on people on social media. From that problem, your product was born.
Okay.
You know? Did you see the name of your product?
I realize I didn't, but it's Style Squad.
Style Squad.
Ron Benzeev's pitch was spot on and essentially covered the same elements of his initial pitch, which isn't surprising, given that Ron and his co-founder David also co-organized the local chapter of 1 Million Cups, which is essentially a weekly startup pitch platform. We did catch up with him later on to see what challenges Squiggle is facing.
Okay, so I don't know you from your startup. I know you from 1 Million Cups and being like the Orlando startup guy. So how did this happen?
It happened very naturally. Everyone needs support. Everybody needs an environment that promotes activity, that promotes work. And it was actually interesting because I had the same question when I applied. Melissa said, why do you need us and what can we do for you? And the first word that came out of my mouth was accountability. Everyone needs accountability, and having a structured environment with specific deliverables forces us in one way to say, okay, I've got to get this done, rather than say, I know I need to get it done and I will at one point get it done, but now I don't have a choice. There are people counting on me to get things done on a particular time and a particular schedule, and I'm not immune to procrastination like everybody else. And this to me was perfect to say, hey, Ron, stop slacking off. We need to get these things done. And that's why I wanted to be part of this, amongst many other things, obviously.
Okay, so what's keeping you up at night right now?
For Squiggle, the biggest issue right now is access to data. Because we do multi-city travel and we are in the travel industry, our biggest challenge is where do we find the data and how much are we willing to pay for it? And that's our, you know, stay up at night, unfortunately, because it is so well gated. As an example, we just negotiated recently and we're hoping to get through with one of the biggest data providers for travel in the United States. And it was a $70,000 fee for 6 months access. And then you pay on each query on top of that. And we just looked and said, yeah, that's nice. Thank you. Don't call us. We'll call you. We can't do it at this stage. And we're self-funded. We're bootstrapping until we get to the point where we're hoping to have and add more value. And so that's also part of when do we have to stop, draw the line and say, okay, we need funding to be able to get to the next step.
Is part of this relationships like that the data providers are protecting relationships that they have currently, or is it really just monetization? Are they really looking to make that much money off of these queries?
They are. The best example I can give you is Google. I could go tomorrow to Google and buy data information for travel. It costs 3 cents per segment of travel. But because what we're solving is multi-city, we are actually not exponential. We're factorial in the way the math operates, which means that our cost is dramatic. As I'll give you as a quick example on the factorial math, if I want to solve 5 cities, it's 5 × 4 × 3 × 2 × 1 × 3 cents. So that cost would be $3.60. But if I wanted to solve a 10-city segment using the same factorial math, 10 × 9, blah, 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 instead of $3.60 for 5 cities, it's $111,000 for 10. Obviously, kind of hard to monetize. So we need to, A, obviously draw the line somewhere, and B, find data buckets that are a lot cheaper for us to do, for not only, you know, really dive deep into the validation piece of this, because we know people have said to us what they would pay. We're going both out of the, after a consumer-based platform and a SaaS-based platform for travel professionals. And we're now sitting between this, okay, great. We have an MVP, a minimal viable product on our user interface. Great. We want to work with that. And then the next step is, okay, what is someone really willing to pay for the information? And now I need to find the data bucket to be able to really say, and we may have to pay for it out of pocket at first, but we'll find out.
Okay. So what's the strategy? There has to be, like, you've been doing this long enough that I know that you have a strategy of where to find that or how to go about that. And what is your strategy?
Interestingly enough, about 2.5 weeks ago, we were approached by an online travel agency, affectionately known as OTA, that wants us to help them work with their multi-city travel. But they also have access to data. So far, that data has been gated. We needed to have 200,000 individual unique visitors to our website before they would even talk to us. And now they're talking to us when we have nothing, and we're hoping to have access to that. We're also fortunate enough to have some veterans of the travel industry on our advisory board. One of them is Jeff Hoffman, who Priceline and a variety of different things. We're actually meeting with him tomorrow. He's going to be in town. And so we're leveraging that, oh my God, Rolodex capabilities and information, saying, okay, we believe we know where the holes are, help us fill it. And again, that's part of what Starter Studio can also do with that for us and say, hey, you may not know this person or that person, and they can make the connections and help us to get to that information.
Mark Baratelli continued to have some, I don't know, apprehension about the podcast. So I kind of drug him into the atrium in order to hopefully square with him and make sure that we were on the same page. So we just had a conversation where essentially I just wanted to ease your mind about why I keep sticking a mic in your face and, you know, how this is going to go with the podcast. And so would you mind sharing kind of like what your emotions are about this in general?
When I panic and get nervous and insecure, I start getting rude. I don't mean the things I say, they just get rude. And here, in this scenario where I am extremely vulnerable, I don't know how to do a pitch. I don't know what my company is. I am like naked to the world. It's really, really scary.
So what are your concerns, like right now, how you're feeling right now about this, about me having this conversation with you? Like, where are you at with this?
I was surprised that people liked my idea. I am completely confused by everything, but I feel like I have the permission to ask questions. So I ask questions. Like, everyone started talking about business model, and this was about, it was about pitches, and we all started talking about business models, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm just completely confused, completely fish out of water. The one thing I'm okay with is my age, because I thought that I was going to be very insecure about that, but it seems like age is not a factor here. It's what you're doing and how good you're gonna do it. And that scares me too, because I've never built a site. I've never done this before. I have no experience. My breasts are on the table. You can see my t's, and they're not cute every time I come into the store.
Okay.
Okay.
So when you say you were initially concerned about your age, what were you concerned about? Like that you were going to be too old or what?
Oh, God. So I have an anger towards certain millennials in this town because some of them only talk to each other and they just run over anybody who looks older than them. And it's happened for the past 2 or 3 years. And so that is my experience with millennials and 20-year-olds is like, you're of no use to me because you're not 20 years old. And it's like, you're an idiot, first of all. So I was expecting that here, and that's not happened yet. But it's only the first day, so maybe their true millennial colors will be revealed.
What do you think will happen when you have your first millennial experience here?
Then it's not going to happen because I had that feeling in there of like that we're going to trust. There was like a trust thing, you know, like a puffy. It just felt very. I felt okay, and I don't think it's going to happen. Because they're going out on a limb too. Like, that was what was hard about criticizing someone else's spiel, or whatever, talky points, is that nobody in there knows how to do it, and I don't know how to do it, so how can I give you feedback on something I've never done before? That's the point I was trying to make. Like, I can't... So I held back. There were things I wanted to say, but I didn't, because by the time I have to give my spiel, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So I don't have a right to criticize. It's very humbling. It's very humbling. It's horrible. I'm quitting.
But it went pretty well. Like, it ended up, I mean, you ended up feeling pretty good about it, right?
Yeah, it's a supported, so far non-judgmental room. And I specifically chose to, because I was like, oh, should I plan something while I was sitting there to say? And I said, no, I'm going to sit there and experience what it's like to have no idea what to say. I felt like that was the more honest way to do that exercise than to trip. Because I don't even know if I sat down to plan to say, you should see my application. You should see my application. There's like 10 questions, and each answer is one sentence. Because someone said to me, oh, when you're doing these pitches, they should be like one sentence long. So every answer is one sentence long. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Well, now we get into the grind, day in and day out, overcoming obstacles and learning all of the topics that are needed to become a thriving business. Now, our starters will take a serious look at their business models and ask, who are my customers? And why do they want what I'm selling? Next time on Accelerator.
The average person probably has no freaking clue where to find that stuff.
No, well, that's...
Where to find it, you have our freaking map.
Maps,
no, man.
They're recording this.
I know. My point was, I know where it is because it's on our map. But without our service, I would have no idea where to find this data.
That's why we're making our service.
Special thanks for today's episode go out to Donna McKenzie and Melissa Wasserman. This episode has been hosted by Josh Elledge, and I did all the production and mixing and all that kind of jazz. We got some recording help from Kevin Hutchinson and Tony Baloney, Plastic Banana, Good Time Rock and Roller, Elam. If you like this podcast, I would highly recommend, it benefits us and you, that you go to whatever your podcatcher is, generally the podcast app on your phone, and subscribe to it so that way you get every new episode. It also helps us with our rankings. If you use an iPhone, I would also request that you leave us a review on iTunes. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on Accelerator. We'll be right back.